Senator Sherrod Brown, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course, Michael. Thank you. Thanks for the public service that NPR gives. I learn things every morning listening, so thank you for that.
And we appreciate that, Senator. I know you wrote a letter to President Trump over the weekend outlining 9 goals, 9 suggestions. I want to talk about some of those, but first I want to talk about workers on the front lines. And in addition to the healthcare workers, I'm talking about grocery store workers as well. Can you talk a little bit about what you believe these folks need, both on the healthcare side and those who are still working in these essential industries that are serving us during this global pandemic?
Well, we first need to recognize and honor and respect them and the dignity of work and what they do. I don't know that when people are sequestered in our homes, quarantined in our homes, as much of America is now, that we think about the risks. We probably think about the risks of the healthcare workers. I'm not sure we do of the men and women who are delivering packages to us, who are moving food and other essential supplies around, people that are working in their laboratories, people that are working in grocery stores themselves and drug stores and places where they're providing essential services. So it's respecting them and honoring them. And then the equally importantly, maybe every bit as importantly, is how we make sure they have the safety equipment they need. And because we started so much later than we should have, Governor DeWine did a good job of preparing this state as much as possible. But because of the president's denials for 7-8 weeks, we are 7 or 8 weeks behind in getting all these crucial supplies to people. So it just means we have to work that much harder.
And I do want to talk more about the federal response, but I read in Politico this morning that the president has rejected a special enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, amid this pandemic. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I don't understand why the president continues to politicize this. If he's successful in blocking and repealing the Affordable Care Act with no replacement, it means that 900,000 people that have insurance in Ohio now, many of them have insurance because Republican Governor Kasich and I as a Democrat worked together to expand Medicaid. If the president has his way, so many people that depend on this insurance now during this coronavirus, insurance not just to take care of them if they come down with this virus, but from other kinds of health care issues that people have every day in this country. And to partially dismantle the health care system now is just lunacy and mean-spirited. And I don't understand why they keep going on that the same week that the president, and I don't want to make this about the president, but the same week that the president is basically done away with clean air standards for the auto companies who were on their way to meeting these much higher mileage standards. Now they're going to back off. And we need to go in the same direction, and that's all about public health. I know that there have been cuts to the public health system. I know the president sort of unilaterally disarmed 2 years ago when he eliminated the office, essentially the office in the White House that was tasked with surveilling the world and looking for a potential epidemic that would evolve into a pandemic. So we put down our defenses then. We've got to make up for that. And the way to make up for that is full speed ahead on all things health care and all things protecting the public.
Senator, I want to ask you about the Ohio-based company Battelle. We're hearing more and more about face masks, different messages than we heard originally as this global pandemic really got underway. Now, there is word that the CDC is considering possibly suggesting that everyone wear face masks, but we know that the healthcare professionals need them more immediately. Battelle says that it's able to sterilize tens of thousands a day, to 80,000, I believe, was the number we saw. But it took some extra effort from you and Senator Portman and state officials to get this approved federally. Can you talk a little bit about the red tape or the bureaucracy that you had to go through in order to facilitate this?
Yeah, Battelle, more Institute of Columbus, one of the most important research facilities in the world, is located in Columbus, and they put all their science and a number of their research scientists on this project to figure out how you can decontaminate various kinds of medical equipment, aiming at N95 masks, and they succeeded in a way to contaminate thousands of them in a time, essentially. And I've been working with the FDA for 2 or 3 weeks. The governor's joined in, and the governor's been leading on this and so many other things. And Senator Portman then joined us recently to get the FDA to move on this. And a couple of false starts, but they've approved it. It means that thousands of masks will be decontaminated. The first shipment, I believe, went to New York already. They will go to Cincinnati. They will go to Dayton. They will go to Cleveland. They will be in Columbus, and they will supply as much as they can. I think their focus is the hot spots, but we have places in the state that we need it to. And I applaud Battelle and the FDA, which unfortunately much of the public health infrastructure has left. The professionals, too many of them have left and been replaced by political appointees, but clearly there's still enough people that I'm very optimistic about our ability to combat this coronavirus. But it means doubling down, working with Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton and public health professionals.
Senator Brown, you wrote to President Trump outlining what you call critical steps that the administration could take now to address the shortage of personal protective equipment. Your first point was to designate a government official who can serve as a point person for the coordination of acquisition and development of these PPE and medical devices, other supplies. Why is that a suggestion and not a reality right now?
Well, I don't know why it's not a reality. We asked the president weeks ago to invoke the Defense Production Act, which is a 70-year-old law that gives the president extraordinary authority during crises in public health emergencies or public national defense emergencies. That was its original intent. The president's had that authority. I think his reluctance has been lobbying by the Chamber of Commerce, who doesn't think the president should ever tell a company what to do. I think the president's philosophy as a businessman, you never tell a company what to make. This is an extraordinary time. This is a time when you invoke that law. It's there for a reason. Finally, the president's come to that conclusion, too. But I convened a group of 50 textile companies by phone about 2.5 weeks ago to talk to them about retooling their plants when they could. For instance, the Q-tips are made by 700 workers in Cleveland, talking to them about retooling into making cotton swabs. That's a different technology, but it's not that different, and they were certainly able to do it. But they need an assurance from the government that they will help them with the capital investment to retool. They need an assurance from the government that they will have a market for these, and they need assurance for the government that at the end of this, they will get some assistance one way or another, because their products their products can't compete with Chinese prices of companies that have moved overseas. So all of that was a disarmament that our government, our country, has done over the years, partly because of the business community lobbying, frankly, that we have lost too much of our manufacturing base on critical public health needs. That's a long-term issue, but right now we got to get these companies to do it. And I know their frustration, because we've called the White House, where you get a different person each time. There's no real organization there of one point person saying, yeah, this is the person that's going to work on Defense Production Act and getting this stuff done right.
We're talking with U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, the Democrat from Ohio. You mentioned the price of supplies and some of the underlying issues that creates that situation. But what do you think about the way that states are having to basically compete with each other and maybe in some sense the rest of the world for supplies, whether it be masks or ventilators that they think they need?
Well, the word pandemic suggests this is international and certainly larger than a community epidemic. So this is not a Cincinnati healthcare issue. It's not an Ohio healthcare issue. It's not even just national, although that's the way we should deal with it. It's international, of course. But no state, nobody should be competing with anybody else on price or on getting these ventilators to our hospitals and to our healthcare facilities. So that's why you need somebody really in charge. You need somebody with expertise, not an elected official, You need a public health professional or a business person, depending on what you're doing here. If it's Defense Production Act, you need an experienced business person whom everyone trusts. You need a public health professional in so much of this to do this. I mean, that's what I've admired about Governor DeWine in this. And Governor DeWine and I have not been over the years political friends, I think it's fair to say, but I've admired what he's done because he's listened to his public health professionals. He's listened to Dr. Acton. He's listened to people that he knows from his work in public health over the years who really know this work. And that's the template that the White House needs to follow on all things pandemic related.
We heard some pretty disturbing numbers at the White House briefing on Tuesday about the number of potential deaths that we could see in this country. I saw a lot of reaction in media describing the president's remarks as sobering this time, sort of a contrast with the way that he has handled himself and some of these other pressers. And just a few days ago, he had basically bragged about the high ratings that these get. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on yesterday's briefing compared to previous ones. Do you sense that the president is becoming more serious if you thought that perhaps he hadn't been before?
Well, I'm just hopeful the president becomes more consistent. He listens to his public health professionals. He's pretty much not done that, listened to his public health professionals for weeks while Governor DeWine was getting our state ready and even closing schools at one point. President Trump was blaming calling this epidemic, this pandemic a hoax and blaming on Democratic efforts to impeach him or whatever he was saying. And that doesn't exude confidence in the American people. And I'm hopeful the president is more realistic, listens to his public health officials, doesn't talk about himself and his poll numbers and his public support or his old rallies or all of that is just a distraction. And I mean, to me, I don't much listen to what the president or the vice president's saying. I listen to what the public health professionals are saying, and I recommend that for everybody. I know it's hard because the president's the president, but the numbers he's throwing out are confusing and scary, and to measure his success by keeping the number of deaths at 100,000 is pretty troubling and fairly not meaningless, of course, but troubling to all of us that hear these numbers as he throws them out.
Well, while there have been mixed reviews about the way President Trump has handled it, some governors across the country are receiving high accolades, including Ohio's governor, and some are not. And if you were to look at a map at the different restrictions that are placed down in order to address the slowing of the spread of this virus, you do see that the entirety of the country is not on the same page. Do you think something needs to happen so that there's more consistency across this country since borders are pretty much invisible?
The good news here is that Governor DeWine and Governor Cuomo and Governor Newsom in California and Governor Hogan in Maryland are Republican. They've been governors of both parties that have stepped into the gap, into the open space, to fill this gap that the president has created. When the president doesn't lead, our system allows governors to lead. That's the good news. The bad news is you simply can't do it state by state, although I would be almost certain that Ohio will have fewer deaths and fewer illnesses and fewer deaths, fewer infected people because of the leadership of Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton. I would also say the country will have more because of the lack of leadership for 7 or 8 weeks at the first number of weeks of the year. Because of the lack of leadership out of the White House. So the president, I am concerned. I see what the governor of Florida has done. He has pretty much mimicked the president in Fox News when he talks and when he acts or doesn't act. There is a lot of that today, unfortunately, where governors take their lead from the president when the president was dismissive of this pandemic. More and more Republican governors are understanding that they don't look to the president. They should look to the public health professionals in this state, like Governor DeWine did, and Governor Baker, another Republican, and Governor Hogan, as I mentioned, another Republican. So that's the answer to this. But I would hope the president would begin to lead more consistently and more humbly, if I could use that adverb.
Senator, I know we're very short on time, but before we let you go, I want to ask about the $2.2 trillion package that's coming out of Washington. What do you think are the high points of that? What's the most important piece of it?
Well, the bill started off initially as coming from the leader of the Senate as a typical big corporate bailout, the way that the government did a decade ago with the banks, where the banks did very well. But the public lost homes, lost jobs, did not do so well. It started off this way for the airlines and Wall Street. Fortunately, we were able to do 3 days, 4 days of intense negotiations with the whole goal of putting money into people's pockets, of helping those small businesses stay in business or at least keep their workforce nearby so they could scale up when the coronavirus is in the rearview mirror. Unemployment insurance everybody will get who's laid off will get $600 a week for a period of 4 months. Put major dollars, not in the original package, but the one that's now signed by the government, by the president, put major dollars into communities. Hamilton County, City of Cincinnati, the state will, some of that coming through the state, but real dollars there, real dollars in the school districts, again, not enough to take care of feeding kids and technology so kids can learn from home, and putting real money into hospitals. So again, it probably won't be enough as this continues to spiral downward. One of the things, and I spoke to 50 bankers on the phone just today, talking to them about this, but we acted partially in this bill for a moratorium on foreclosures, a forbearance on mortgages, on mortgage payments, a prohibition on foreclosures, and a partial prohibition on evictions. And we've got to double down and do more there. Most banks are cooperating. As this wears on week after week, it will be more and more of a challenge. And it's so important that nobody's thrown out of their homes, apartments or houses during this awful pandemic.
U.S. Senator Sherrod Brown, thank you so much for your time today. Hope we can check in again soon.
We will do it again. Thank you.